It's time for Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, a show with practical truth to strengthen your relationships. And now your host, Carrie Abbott.
So good to be with you. I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a great weekend. Good family time, good fellowship time, learning the word if you went to hear your pastor preach or teach, etc., etc. And then, of course, there's all those extra things that happened. What's coming to mind for many of us is the tragic story of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna and the nine people who were on the helicopter that crashed over the weekend. Very, very devastating news, and the details of that crash are continuing to pour in. We don't know what happened there, but we do know it's being investigated. And mostly we know that when people lose loved ones, it is so difficult to go through that. It's hard to put words to it. I listened to some of the friends and colleagues and other NBA players and coaches over the weekend because I wanted to be part of the community that gathered together on TV, right, and shared this emotion, and all spoke so highly of Kobe and what he was doing, not only as a professional, now that he had gone and left the Lakers that he'd been with him for 20 years, but in raising a family with four daughters and one of his daughters, of course, dying with him. So the whole story is very hard to take for people, especially those who were close to him. He was an icon in that area. And so we just ask God's favor and blessing and tender care and mercy. And one of the greatest things we can do as believers is pray that other believers will bring hope and peace and comfort, true comfort that only God can give through his people. And that is my prayer for them and the other families involved as well. It is tragic all the way around. And it's so interesting with that as a backdrop that in studio with me right now are two gentlemen who happen to be part of a ministry that actually trains in aviation. I don't even know if I've even covered this in 9 years, and here we are on the same day, which I actually have felt brings extra comfort because they have understanding. And they're with Mission Aviation Training Academy. The executive director, Derry Fink, is with us, and Joe Hopkins, one of their certified flight instructors, sitting in here with me. Welcome, gentlemen. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Carrie.
And as I'm mentioning Kobe's story, and you're nodding with understanding of how these things can work, and I think, Derry, you said you've had colleagues who have died in similar crashes, and it's devastating, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that does take a lot of training, and we do realize that as pilots, we have a great responsibility to those that we take with us. And so, in fact, why Mission Aviation started was we realized that we just needed people that really were good at what they did in mm-hmm. aviation, so that as we supported the church work, the people that flew with us really knew that they could trust that transportation.
Yeah, right. Well, let's get right to that. First of all, I'm grateful that the two of you are in studio, and I don't see it as an accident. The Lord is so much more in charge than we are. Yeah. So here you are. So we gather together and praying for not only Kobe and Kobe's family and those who've lost, but also that bigger picture you just mentioned, that worldwide aviation is a major part of our life now. And so this ministry that you're involved in is so exciting and so really cutting edge. It has been for many, many years, going back to the one I think of as Mission Aviation Fellowship, training pilots. And of course, yours is just has a different name. Is it the same mission, Derry?
We are not. No, we're a training agency here in the United States. And then we do provide pilots for Mission Aviation Fellowship, for JARS, Smirts Purse, Africa Inland Mission, and some of the other major organizations. There are about 100 and some organizations globally that use aviation assets in their ministry.
Wow, what, over 100?
Yeah. And
incredible.
So it can be just a simple pastor pilot operation to, as an MAF, they're taking off and landing every 10 minutes. And
every
so
10 minutes.
It's a big global effort right now to reach the lost in remote areas, and not just with, we do disaster relief, we do humanitarian relief efforts, medical, but really supporting the local church and getting into the pastors and missionaries in country to provide that needed connection once they're in a remote area.
So give me just a little bit of the story of how Mission Aviation Training Academy actually was started. You're in the Arlington area at the airport there.
Yeah, it's actually a PhD thesis gone bad. It started with a pastor who was called to.
Aren't they all, Derry? Aren't they all?
Yeah. And he did it. His thesis was on how to train a missionary pilot. And so somebody said, well, your research needs to be go do it. There were several agencies at the time in the United States that trained missionary pilots. And we were one of the only countries that does or did at that time a lot of that training. We had Moody. Mm-hmm. Bible College had a big aviation program. They were the largest supplier, Laterno, Liberty, mm-hmm. and a few others. But one thing that was found is it was hard to find a place where people could come to the United States for quick training, because theirs are usually five-year programs, mm-hmm. and do added training for like pastors needing extra training or just people needing a couple-week training. And so Mission Aviation Training Academy was started to fill that void that the universities couldn't.
Okay.
Since then, it's grown into a much more specific program, not only ab initio, but also advanced training. And now we're doing specific training for people trying to reach into specific regions. And we're doing five major regions now: open ocean, jungle, desert, Arctic, and what's the fifth one? I just forgot.
Did you say Alaska?
Yeah, Alaska. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have the tundra flying, we have the jungle flying, and the mountain flying. So as these people reach in, you know, it's really hard to just call up on Amazon now and get a package delivered to you in some remote part of the world in the jungle.
You mean they don't all have Amazon Prime?
Yeah, yeah, you know, two-day or one-day, and some here 1 hour now. So typically, aviation assets, we can provide that. So right now, the numbers we're getting off the field is for every minute of flying, every minute, 60 seconds, we save about 1 hour of walking. And that could also be road. Even if you had a four-wheel drive, the roads are so bad, it's still about 1 hour to 1 minute of flying. So for a 45-minute flight, which is a pretty average flight for mission aviation programs, we save that much hour basis for travel. Hmm. So for one pilot asset on the field, we can save 3.5 years of travel just in 1 year of flying.
That's incredible. That is incredible. And this is world. It's amazing just listening to where your focus is globally. It's so much different than what one would expect. So, Joe, how did you get involved in this wonderful ministry?
Well, I heard about MATA on a radio broadcast.
Well, there you go, Christian radio.
It might have even been you guys. Back in 2013, the director at that time and the chief flight instructor were being interviewed at a homeschool conference mm-hmm. up at Overlake. And they gave a phone number. I called in on the phone number. I ended up at their Bible study. And initially, it was to wash airplanes and to just help out. And
did you already know how to fly a plane?
Yeah, I had my licenses.
You already had a license,
90s.
So they said you can get involved. First, you have to go to Bible study. Is that protocol?
An invitation more than you have to.
I think it's a great protocol. That's what I'm saying. Hey, let's see who we really are. Let's get in the Word together. Yeah. First, I love that. And then wash planes. Yes, you can come and wash planes,
sure,
Joe.
Sure. So anyway, yeah, well, there's people that come and some of our supporters don't come to Bible study.
Yeah.
And a few of the instructors don't make all the Bible studies. In any event,
sure.
Over time, I got more involved in the instruction at their invitation, starting with the summer camp we do with the kids and at the end of July, the ground instructing and then later the flight instructing. But I also have a real estate background, so later it became apparent that we needed to sign up on another lease for that building or figure out how to buy it.
Mm.
And so Derry and I kind of put a plan together and put it before the board. I wasn't on the board at that time. And anyway, long story short, we were able to with God's help, with God's great help, put together a program that the landlady liked.
And at the Arlington Airport.
At the Arlington Airport. Okay. And we ended up purchasing the building. We actually completed paying off the loan to her 2 years early, just at the end of this past year.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's quite we're just amazed.
Incredible.
And I think everybody that is involved was amazed. And we have some really faithful supporters and people that their imaginations, their spiritual imaginations are captured by what Derry shared, where we're helping to put people in the field that are getting out and supporting the Bible translators and the church planners.
Right.
And if you're a follower of Jesus, that's something that, we need to support this. So.
Right. Well, getting the gospel to the far reaches and then supporting with supplies or whatever it is. And you've told me a number of stories. One is you mentioned that how many people do not have road access in the world? Did you say a billion?
The numbers we're getting, we're hearing up to a billion people in the world don't have access to a dependable road system.
And so what does that mean?
That means if you have medical issues, a child that's sick, it's going to take you several days to several weeks to get to a hospital if you can. That's if you're not on an island or some other entity
right.
that you can't in that country that prohibits travel. We have pilots that can get in with medical teams, rescue those people, get them out. We have several established programs that's the country's only air medevac. We have people flying for Ebola relief right now in Congo. We have
Ebola relief. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the mission is very diverse when it comes to sharing the gospel. We want to get in and support the missionaries in the local church. And at the same time, we have an asset that's funded in part, actually in full, by the U.S. church.
Right.
And we can bring that asset to bear for bringing people to medical health. And you can't minister to somebody who's dying of a disease where they are in a coma or their family's going to be in such hard position financially mm-hmm. that they don't want to listen to you because you mm-hmm. didn't help them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very diverse. It depends on the country we go into. It's not as if the rest of the country or the rest of the world is asking for American missionaries to come and tell them that they're sinners and they need Jesus to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really like it when we show up and tell them that, hey, our God says that if you don't come to Jesus Christ, you will not be with him in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have to come and show the love of God, part of that is the church is sending big, big assets to bear in this to help them understand why God loves them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Showing them God's love, helping them in the day-to-day, and reaching the hospital faster or shortening the time. Instead of walking now, they can actually get access to transportation in a way that they couldn't, and supplies, et cetera. It makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And that's really the same attitude here. People don't want to hear what we know. They want to know that we care, and we show them we care. This is such a unique way to do that. And I think it's a beautiful, pleasant obligation for the church worldwide, but starting in the United States, where we have the funding, we have the knowledge, and we have corporations that build great planes, if I could drop Boeing's name. I know that's been hard out there, Boeing, but
yeah.
Hang in there. I'm glad the 777 went well. But, you know, we're all related to the Boeing story, right? In fact, both my brothers work there. One is still on AOG, flies all over the world to fix those planes. So we're very proud of that. And that filters into the knowledge base and also the innovation, I think, of what's taking place here. Listen, we need to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this incredible organization, Mission Aviation Training Academy, in the Arlington area, which is just a little north of Seattle. I mean, we're all now just connected. And that has a very special place in my heart because my husband used to work up there at the airport for another company that are very dear to us as well. So this is all very fun and exciting. And I know those of you listening are wondering, well, how can I get involved? Oh, I'm going to tell you how you can get involved, because like everything else on the show, this is all about the kingdom of God. It's not about any one of us. And I'm so glad that you tuned in. We'll be right back.
I love the thought-provoking conversations and the biblical teaching on Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, but it isn't always convenient to tune in at a certain time each day.
I know. That's why I signed up for the free weekly radio recap by going to the radio page at carrieabbott.com. Links to the week's shows are delivered right to my email every Friday afternoon. Then I listen at my convenience on my computer or phone, and I can send my favorite shows to family and friends.
Get Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott sent directly to you by going to carrieabbott.com and sign up today. That's carrieabbott.com.
Hey friends, the new year is here, and our vision at the Legacy Institute to bring the light of God's truth to all issues impacting your relationships and sexuality is more important than ever. Having 2020 vision is vital for our team. So we're asking you to join us in prayer. Will you join us in asking God to lead and guide us as we continue to develop resources, radio shows and podcasts, and relationship tools to strengthen you and your family? Would you consider joining our prayer team? We've had a large prayer team for many years, and yet we sense even more prayer is needed for the tasks we are undertaking this year. For those of you who have faithfully been praying for us, thank you. For those who would like to join the prayer team and receive a simple prayer reminder once a month, go to thelegacyinstitute.com and scroll down to the bottom section where you'll find a prayer team sign up. You'll receive insights on how you can pray and information about our team, our special projects, and any needs. So go to thelegacyinstitute.com and thank you for praying.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
And now back to more Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott.
We're talking airplanes today, and, well, I suppose beyond airplanes, helicopters. I did mention at the beginning of our show, our thoughts and prayers, and serious amount of prayers going to all of those families who were impacted by the the tragedy, the Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and the others on the plane, or the helicopter, excuse me, this weekend. And we will continue to pray that God's love will be poured out, that peace will be and comfort will be legitimately felt by all of those involved. And I pray that Jesus' name is glorified in that journey. And those who can and know these families will reach out with great faith. And I'm sure they're already doing that. And listen with me today. Just interesting, we've got aviation issue going on. And in studio with me are two gentlemen from Mission Aviation Training Academy. Joe Hopkins, their certified flight instructor, sitting here with me, and then Executive Director Derry Fink. And I just learned from you on the break, Derry, that you grew up in Africa?
Yeah, I spent 16 years as a missionary kid in Senegal, West Africa.
So wow.
Been to the villages, I'd never seen white people before. I've walked
and
desert.
You're white, Derry. Did you know that, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at you. It always brings up some interesting conversations. And
it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. So when we're talking global connections, it really makes sense to you, doesn't it? Your brain already has a shelf for that. You already have a picture in your mind. You know, when we say getting to remote villages, what that means, right?
I've been on the, with my dad, going eight hours to drive 45 miles to reach a village because the road's so bad, and pushing out the vehicle out of washed out roads. And and these people are in these isolated areas, and nobody comes and visits them because they're not on Google Maps, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, so when you can train somebody to fly into those remote areas safely, and that's an issue. I've been on a small plane landing in Montana with mountains and snow, and it was very scary. I'm just going to say that wasn't my favorite trip.
Yeah, we like that stuff, though.
I know. I can just tell when I said that. You just lit up. Then that's great. But there's some special training when you're dealing with that kind of topography. And I know another thing that you mentioned, Joe, on the break was maybe thinking about going north and actually starting some additional work in Alaska. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would mean you'd have to do a lot more of that hopping kind of flying, right?
From almost the start, and Derry, you can correct me, but from almost the start, MATA had ministry outreach, at least in the summers, to the remote villages that had no road access, and they used the airplane to bring the kids into VBS camps.
Love
and
it.
So we have one of our board members is retiring from the Alaska State Patrol. He's been part of the aviation. I think he runs Southeast, doesn't he, for fixed wing and helicopter. When he retires, he may be our northern outpost guy.
So
that we would
exciting.
Set up an operation up there to support not only the Bible camps, but also the pastors that fly up there, and also possibly repair or rebuild airplanes for the pastors that are up there already ministering using the airplanes.
Very exciting. And Derry, how long have you been in the role as executive director?
About going on 4 years now. Yeah. I was at MATA. I got out of the service, shot up and blown up too bad. And so I was in.
Hold on a sec. You were in the military?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then got out of the military in 2009 and I was invited back to MATA as a mechanic and then eventually as a pilot with them, flight instructor. And then, was on the board of directors as a program development officer and then became director here just about 4 years ago.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that it was harrowing, but it often is. And yet you've turned all that knowledge base and understanding into ministry, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. And I know just talking to both of you how excited you are about these things. One area that kind of perked my imagination was the kids camp you have in the summer. You mentioned in July. Tell me a little bit about that, Joe.
So 13 years or 14 years has been going. So it used to be, I think it was 9 kids and three airplanes. Then it became 18 kids. So the last 6-7 years I've been involved, we've had 18 teenagers come in between 14 and 18 years old. And we have them from Sunday evening till Friday evening. And their parents bring them by on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
We do an orientation. Then we send the parents away.
Yes.
We have them captive.
Yeah.
And
captured in the hangar.
We do a dormitory type situation with them. And we show missionary movies in the evening. We have mission speakers come in if people are in town. And during the day, we let them fly the airplanes. The lady in the front she said,
right?
Yikes.
Right.
I thought it was scary. But the 9 kids fly in the morning, and the other 9 are in ground school. And then at lunchtime, we swap.
Okay.
And so they do that for 5 days. And they actually get time in their logbook if they ever want to pursue their licenses later. And we've had an average, I think, one or two come back from each class to train with us later. And one of our 2009 campers just went out to Papua New Guinea as a pilot with JARS, Wycliffe.
Wow. Beautiful. So 14 to 18, they're not kids. They're young adults.
Okay.
Really. I mean, just so, you know, well, tween and teen. Let's
true,
hope. I'm
true,
just,
no, true.
Right?
True.
Which I think is beautiful because that's such a great age to be thinking, is this something that I really feel drawn to? Do I feel called to this? Kids can do ministry even way younger than that. You know, when they start to get introduced to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's a driving part of your mission. I'm looking at your website right now. And that's the first thing is about spreading the message of the gospel farther and faster through the equipping and training of pilots for mission aviation ministry. For the person who just tuned in, Derry, you said over 100 organizations that are in need of pilots, right?
Yeah, we could place 80 missionary pilots today.
80,
but it takes 7 to 10 years to train up a missionary pilot. So
wow.
We have requests from all over the country. In fact, we just got a request. We need mechanics only. It's such a high demand right now.
Yeah.
We can't even get the people in the field. In the next 5 years, we're going to see about a 50 to 70% attrition just from retirement of the missionaries on the field in the next 5 years. But it takes 7 to 10 to train up their replacement.
Why does it take so long?
A large part is it's people didn't realize how much training is required to become it's three career fields. You want to be a missionary, you want to be a mechanic, and a pilot. There are faster ways to do it, but it just takes it's harder to get people to commit. You know, we have a term we use, stick-to-itiveness.
Stick-to-itiveness. Good word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the kids coming in, the big thing they want to do is try out a lot of things. But you can't try out aviation.
Mm.
There's too much to do. So we're looking for people that really want to give their life to Christ in service, no matter where he puts you, but also have that understanding that this is a technical skill set and it takes a lot of training, a lot of time in the saddle to become good at it.
So my head is just spinning with all of the thoughts because I know just looking at just jobs in general, I know that we in the trades and when it comes to those hands-on trade jobs, mechanics, plumbers, electricians, we're scrambling to find the next generation of those.
We need those people.
And so this is another part of that story that I want our listeners to tune into. Not only do we need that person in that trade, but we need them with a passion for Christ and then aviation. So getting that story out is so imperative for you. Otherwise, this is going to drop off, right? That's what I'm hearing you say is we need to raise the red flag and say missionary work is not done. We need to keep it up and we need to send out more and more people to those remote areas, the billion who have roads they don't have road access.
You know, this goes back to biblical times, you know, send the workers. We're the workers,
Right.
And that's what we're here now too saying, you know, we need the workers. The harvest is ready. I'm telling you, all over the world, people are ready to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And we need people that can go live with them for years. You know, you can't go touch somebody for 2 hours and expect that it changed their life.
Right.
You have to be able to live with them.
Or a 2-week trip. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Can
you commit 10 to 20
years? It's not a trip to come and look and see and build something and go home. Yeah. This is you have to build relationship and stay there. And so it is a calling.
Yeah. The 10-year, 10,000-hour model is what it takes to reach the world if you want to be with somebody.
10-year, 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, which makes you about an expert on anything, by the way, about 10,000 hours, right? So if that's the calling, so how are you framing this calling for people? Obviously, we're here talking about it. I'm thrilled that we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. What are you doing in the trenches, in the churches, to be able to get this message out so that young men and women will say, that's me. I want to be one of those people.
Yeah, we have pretty heavy presence online with SEO. It is targeted because it is a very small portion of the population that feels called to go serve in the bush as a pilot.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or even as a missionary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we want to focus on people that know God is calling them to do something greater with themselves, that have a technical skill set, that love to serve the church and be creative in what God calls them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're targeting on those that know that they can't do that, but they want to support that.
Okay.
So we have avenues for that as well.
Which that's code for, we need you to give money And so I want you to give money and I want you to pray. MATA-USA.org is where you're going to go to get more information. This is so exciting because it's that feeling of we still need the tangibles. The internet is not going to solve this problem. We need people. Mm-hmm. We need people who get into airplanes, helicopters, whatever it is. We need them to learn to fly. What about ex-military? I know that's what is your story. It seems to me so much good training is already there. Can that translate pretty well?
Yeah, if you are ex-military and you had your training in the military, it's good training. Mm-hmm. We do military conversion training, get back into
Excellent.
Small airplanes, get back into bush mm-hmm. environments. And there's agencies out there that need you. If you're a military mechanic and
yes.
get your A&P license, your civilian mechanics license, they want you.
Oh, mm-hmm. so good. Yes, Joe.
That's how MAF started anyway, after World War II. That was all ex-military guys.
That's right. Who
were believers, and they'd seen out in the South Pacific where the people that needed the gospel.
Right, and they've already lived that story in one sense, but they also have the training in those trades. A lot of people that go into military are working on their mechanics. They're working on stuff. They're not all doing that, you know, that one job that we all imagine. They're doing all of these jobs to keep little mini cities going around the world, right, mm-hmm. when we have our troops there. Gentlemen, I am so thrilled that you could come in today. I am especially thrilled that we can bookend this and say that aviation is incredibly life-changing, and it also can be tragic in the case of the helicopter crash with Kobe Bryant and his daughter and those amazing people that were with him. And so our prayers are always such a big part of this, but your mission to spread the gospel is what makes it most exciting to me. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious. We need to fund this and help prayer support. If you want to, can they come up and see everything up
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely.
I love the idea of the camps. We've got to do the camps.
Weekly Bible studies also. Friday night, dinner is 5:45 and Bible study from 7 to 8.
Too.
It's a little bit of a trek from down here, but
it's not that far. No. I've done it many times. No, and Bible study and dinner. How do you beat
Come
that,
on.
Right? Okay. So it's MATA-USA.org. Thank you, gentlemen, and everybody else. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott. This program is a ministry of the Legacy Institute and is listener-supported. Please donate today to keep this program on the air. To contact the Legacy Institute, write to P.O. Box 82746, Kenmore, Washington, 98028. The phone number is 425-485-5346 and online at thelegacyinstitute.com or carrieabbott.com.